Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to the investor conference call hosted by Sanofi India Limited. Joining the call, we have Mr. Eric Manchin, GM Pharma and Non-Executive Director, Mr. Rashid Hayari, Full-Time Director and CFO, Mr. Deepak Arora, Managing Director, Mr. Suresh Babu, Diabetes Head, and Mr. Harush Vala, Company Secretary from Sanofi India Limited. Before we begin this investor call, there are two important announcements. Please note that the proceedings of this meeting are recorded. Secondly, please note a standard disclaimer that there are certain statements in this call which may be forward-looking, and the actual results may vary depending on various other factors which may impact the future performance. Moving on to the agenda, we will cover the performance for the quarter and 9 months ended September 2025 and other highlights. Thereafter, we will have a Q&A session which will end at exactly sharp 5:30 p.m. All investors and participants are please requested to keep their questions brief and avoid repetition. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand over to the management to take us through the presentation.
Very good afternoon, everyone, and thank you very much for attending this investor conference call. We may move to the first slide, please. Yeah, you can move to the next one. Next one. And next one. Thank you. This year is pivotal for Sanofi India Limited, and we have completely transformed and modernized our business model with the aim to strengthen our leadership in the insulin market and to reposition ourselves with sustainable and profitable growth. Over the last 10 months, we have refined our structure and redesigned our go-to-market in order to focus our insulin franchise with a customer-centric organization. And we've been digitally empowering our teams with modern tools, capabilities, and ways of working. This transformation, you will see, is already delivering positive results, both in top line and bottom line. And Rashid will run you through the numbers in a couple of slides. We are accelerating our growth in Q3, despite all the structural changes that we've been operating over the last 10 years. In parallel of this internal restructuring, we have successfully developed and transitioned our legacy cardiovascular, central nervous system, and oral anti-diabetic drugs to what we call a partnership model, which will allow us to continue to grow these important franchises by maximizing our reach, by leveraging on the capabilities of our partners and extensive networks. This whole transformation is positioning us as a customer-centric, digitally empowered organization, which will allow us to deliver both growth and margin expansion, and we are ready to capture the significant opportunity that is in front of us in the India diabetes market. All that while maintaining a strong reach with our legacy portfolio through the partnerships. In the next slide, I'd like just to make a few highlights on what will drive our growth journey in the field of diabetes. As you can see, we have key strategic pillars that will be combined with a focused execution over our insulin business. First, our portfolio approach. We have a clear segmentation that will ensure that we bring the right solution to the patients, in particular with our innovative portfolio. 2GO, which is second generation of basal insulin, and Soliqua in the premise market, where we have a real opportunity to accelerate our uptake by shaping the market and increasing our reach. And of course, we'll continue to actively utilize Lantus with a volume growth. All that will be amplified by our market expansion initiatives. We are creating awareness for early insulinization and we're ensuring a greater outreach to our digital approach. We are also now tapping into the potential of public sector, in particular with our innovative portfolio. All of that is going to be enabled by a strong customer centricity and innovative orchestration powered by artificial intelligence. On the next slide, I just would like to double click on innovation with Soliqua. So Soliqua was launched last year and is a key growth driver with a very strong value proposition in the premise market. We are basically offering patients a more effective and convenient treatment, of course, backed by science and new clinical evidence. And we'll come back to that. Now, in order to deep dive on the recent outcome of all this transformation, I leave the floor to Rachid, who will run you through the final slides. Rachid?
Thank you, Eric. Next, please. Good afternoon, everyone. So before starting, please allow me to define the revenue from operation. Is mainly the sales representing 93% to 94%, where we will focus today. And we have the other operating income service and export, this is 6%, and other income, mainly the interest on deposit, and FX gain around 1%, that we, it's marginal revenue that we will not review today. So as you can see, almost half of the business is coming from diabetes, actually, and half with partners, cardiovascular, CNS, and oral anti-diabetes, where we can see growth for both, you know, both parts. So diabetes plus 4% in YTD September 2025, and 5% in quarter to quarter versus last year. And if we take the partnership, so it's a good start, as mentioned by Eric. So 2% in YTD, 5% in quarter to quarter. So is if we take the partnership, is per expectation as the trend that we were expected at the beginning when we signed the partnership. So the major impact that we have in the top line, where which didn't impact the bottom line, is the export. So the export part is around 12 to 13% of the total sales. This is first. The drop of the export was expected, and it's related to the divestment of Anchor Shower site to Zentiva in 2020. So Zentiva kept coding products in Sanofi site in Goa, waiting the authorization from the Indian authorities to manufacture this product, which was obtained. The authorization was obtained end of 2024. And this is what impact mainly the export. A plan of, in place, so we were, as it was expected, so our colleagues from the manufacturing and industrial affairs already put in place a kind of plan to increase the volume at the Goa site and include other countries in the export. So we have we are exporting right now to Russia, it's a new market for us, South Africa, and certain products that were sold previously in CMO in India are moved to our site in Goa. Can we move to the next, please? Yeah, in terms of the OPEX, as you can see, the company continues to make significant progress on its strategy through targeted market initiative and operational excellence. So we see significant optimization in the OPEX part related to the personnel cost and the other OPEX, minus 30% versus last quarter. And the ratio is improving, moving to 22%. So this is a significant contribution in the PBT, the profit before tax of the company. Next, please. So, thank you. So if we take the export part, despite the fact significant decrease in the export revenues, but the impact in the profit is not so significant. All in all, it's around 8% of the total profit before tax in terms of export, and the major profit is coming from the domestic part with higher margin. So it's a good performance that we can see in quarter in quarter three, where it's double-digit growth versus Q3 2024, and we see the significant improvement in the ratio comparing to the net sales, where we are moving to from 23% to 29%. Same trend in YTD, where double-digit growth as well, and we see an improvement on the net sale, and this is what we are expecting in the next upcoming years if everything will go well. Next, please. So, please, can you come back to the previous one? I'm sorry for that. So, the last point from my side is related to the interim dividend that was decided by the board today. So, as disclosed today, for YTD, we September will distribute an interim dividend of 75 rupees per share. Deepak, the floor is.
Thank you so much. Can we move to the next slide? So, thanks to Eric and Shiv. And what I'm going to do is to reinforce the points which have been already laid out. And this is to bring confidence to our dear investors that the transformation which has been done is to position ourselves for a sustainable and profitable growth. When we talk about the strategic transformation by being focused on diabetes and insulin portfolio, winning partnership model for our legacy brands, at the same time making sure we drive strong execution for bringing growth and significant margin expansion through our operational excellence. And last but not the least, we are positioning for tomorrow. So future-ready capabilities with AI, digital capabilities of our field force are towards making sure we capture India's high-growth diabetes opportunity. With this, I open up the session for question answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking the question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Take our first question from the line of Param Vora from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, so what I wanted to ask was that despite exporting to 28 plus countries, the current, you know, revenue contribution from India is 81% and Singapore is 18%, which comprises of almost whole revenue. So is there any part of geographic expansion?
Regarding the export part, right? Yeah. So as I mentioned in my, in the slide, so we are trying to target new markets. So Russia is already there. So we succeed to release the budget, and we started exporting, the first budget end of last year, and now it's becoming routine. South Africa is something coming as well, in the plan, and we are exploring other markets, so work in progress regarding this specific subject.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We'll take our next question from the line of Rajakumar Vaidyanath from RKL. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I couldn't hear your comment on the exports. So I can see that the exports have substantially come down. So are you saying that we will pick up this over a period of time, or this is going to be a new normal?
Yeah. So the export, was expected, as he mentioned initially. So this is related to the site that we divest in 2020. I'll share our site to Zentiva. There are certain products, you know, codeine products, they need a kind of specific authorization from Indian authorities. And this is took a bit long time, you know, for almost 4 years for Zentiva to get it. So, and they get this authorization hand in 2024. So this is what impacted significantly the export part. So as the subject was known, so our team were working on this project to offset the impact of the loss on the export. And as Ian mentioned, so there are new markets where we already add in the portfolio. So we are exporting already to Russia. So starting end of last year, so this year could be full year for the export for certain products. South Africa as well in our projection, and the site is becoming as well a kind of unique site for certain products worldwide. So based on the evaluation that we have done, I think we will not cover 100% of what was lost in terms of export. But with this initiative, I think we will offset part of it. Another part will be offset by certain products that were manufactured previously in CMOs in India, that we are moving them to Goa site. But despite the fact, what I can assure you that despite the fact that this impact is significant in the top line, but in the bottom line it's not, because you know the export in terms of profitability versus the domestic sales, it's a kind of 8%. And the profitability of the export is not so high as what we have in the domestic segment. So that's why, despite the fact that we are losing significantly, they say, in the export versus last year, it's not impacting our profit before tax.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you for this explanation. So the second question is this partnership, the top line comparison, you're saying you've grown by 5% for this quarter. But my comment here is the previous year number, your sales would have been very high because you would have had your own marketing and sales team. And, you know, your pricing of the entire the product would have been on the higher side because now you have a partnership, you have priced it lower. So does it mean, I mean, in understanding correct, so if that is correct, means then we are not comparing apple to apple, right?
No,
so
we,
plus 5 is the value difference.
No, we are comparing, let's say it's not apple to apple exactly, but I think it's comparable. Let me explain a bit, you know, the model that we have is distribution and marketing agreement. So it's not a divestment. So it's part of our portfolio where we capitalize and we expecting growth from this portfolio. And so it's not divestment. So the partner is, you know, distributing and promoting the product. So the promotion is at his level. So we are not promoting anymore at our level. So this is how the partnership is done. So at the end of the day, it's comparable. It's a very competitive market. So if we say, you know, even the growth 2-5%, let's say, it's a good. I would say it's adequate growth, knowing the competition in such segment. So and. You want to continue about that?
No, maybe just to add that the ambition is really, and the whole idea is to capitalize on the capabilities and the reach of these partners. However, really to reach not only tier one, but also tier two and tier three cities, where there is a huge potential that we could not focus on because, I mean, we wanted to be focused on developing the insulin. So by doing this kind of partnership, we are able to be laser focused on our insulin development, while growing the market with the support of our partner on the rest of the portfolio.
Okay, got it, sir. And sir, the last question is, any new launches you're planning, you know, in the upcoming quarter?
Yeah. You want me to take it or will you?
Yep, please go ahead.
Yeah. So we are exploring with the group, you know, any opportunity that we can launch in Sanofi India Limited. For now, there are business cases under under validation. Nothing for the, let's say, for next year. But we, the organic growth that we are expecting from current portfolio and is a respectable growth versus the market. So in term of for the insulin portfolio and for the partnership. So the answer for 2026, we are not expecting launching new products. But there are still, you know, certain work in progress regarding certain products.
And we are very much in the launch phase of Soliqua until now. Huh? I mean, we just launched less than, let's say, a year and a half ago with an uptake that we know will continue to be sharp in terms of increase. So I don't know, Suresh, if you want to jump in on this one, but the focus really right now is to make sure that we accelerate the uptake of Soliqua. And so far, we've been delivering a very successful launch.
Okay. And lastly, just one comment, sir, no question. So, sir, the comment is, I see that your top line is kind of very volatile. So it kind of investors a bit nervous. So I hope your numbers will be, more straightforward. Go forward, because I know that you had a consumer business earlier, you hide, but even after that you and in a couple of quarters back when the number able, but now again last quarter you reported very drastic drop in sales, so I hope the numbers will not yo-yo go forward. That's one comment from me.
No, thank you for that. Quarter two same, the impact, the major impact for us in 2025 is coming from the export part. So it's the same explanation as what we have with Dan right now, and I agree that there are certain fluctuations, but this is was expected. Yeah, thank you for your comment.
Yeah, thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Rajesh Nirala from CP Investment Manager. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So what impact do you expect on your insulin and diabetes portfolio once a generic semaglutide gets launched in India in March 2026?
I will let the expert answer, Suresh.
So the GLP market when it comes to the orals, so from what we understand from various FGDs with the HCPs are, that they are not to replace the insulin initiation. The segment is very different. One, we are talking about weight loss, and we are talking about the insulinization. So we have seen a similar kind of a thing whenever any new drug came in place, be it a SGLT2 or a DPP4. It may delay insulinization a bit. Finally, HCPs come back to insulin. In very many conversations we have, HCPs have reinforced their confidence on insulin. And they are so glad that Sanofi wants to pursue in the space of insulin without moving away from the portfolio management. So to give confidence back, but for initial conversation with some of the patients for weight management, HCPs want to initiate insulin. And recently with Soliqua coming in the space of a mix of a GLP plus insulin glargine U100, which they have a huge confidence on, their focus is more on initiating patients on Soliqua as well.
Okay. And the second question is, I see most of these products are old-gen products like Lantus, again this Soliqua, which were launched way back in the international market. So what is the launch status for Dupixent and Beyfortus, Altuvio in the Indian market? Are you planning to launch these products at all?
You want me to take it or? Yeah. So, to answer to your question, so as you know, we have two legal entities in India, one the listed company and the second one, the private one. So regarding Beyfortus was launched this year in the private co. As the vaccine part since the beginning was there. So and we didn't see any other value that we launched Beyfortus, for example, in Sanofi India Limited, as there is no synergy at all between the two portfolio that we are managing. Dupixent, there are a lot of discussion about it, but still not finalized yet.
Yeah, it's very much on the case-by-case basis. And as we say, as we said earlier, the focus right now is really to position Sanofi India Limited as the champion for diabetes. So we have a very strong focus in the short term on insulin. If we have in the portfolio, and there might be some relevant products that are good complements for our diabetes portfolio approach, definitely we'll consider it. But in the short term, as I said earlier, the focus is really to accelerate the uptake and deliver a successful launch for Soliqua and to continue the growth on both Toujeo and Lantus.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sandeep, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening. So I have three questions. One is, what is the Sanofi India's plan towards entering into biosimilars? And can you give some guidance on how much revenue contribution is expected from biosimilar segment in next 2 to 3 years? That is question number one. Question number two is, what are the new segments where company is planning to enter? And my third question is, what is the revenue and profitability guidance for next 1 to 2 years?
Not clear. So, contribution of biosimilar, new segments, and evolution of the market.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, Suresh, maybe you can answer on the first point on the biosimilar.
Thanks, Eric. It's a very good question, considering the fact that the more biosimilars are, they are going to improve the share of voice on using, glargine in the marketplace. So, and we have seen that also. Despite more biosimilars coming, we have not lost our value market share in the overall glargine segment and the basal insulin segment. We are still market leaders with approximately 50% market share for Lantus and the 12% market share for Toujeo, taking it to overall 62-63%. So our market share continues to keep moving up with the biosimilars coming in space. And considering the fact that biosimilar prices are equivalent to Lantus now after the NLM of Lantus, the need for using biosimilars for the doctors is slowly, I would say, losing interest with Lantus available at the same price being an innovator. So we can be rest assured that the impact would be much in favor of the innovator Lantus in that space. The second point, considering this, we are expanding largely with the reach on U300, which is our Toujeo, where there is no competition and where a lot of scientific evidence is there to back it up. So overall, as a glargine family, we are winning.
And maybe just to complement on the segment. Yeah, on your question on the segment and the new segment we are going to tap, as mentioned, the second generation basal insulin, U300, we believe that there is a potential in the public sector in addition to our current focus in the private sector. So we are deploying a new go-to-market model in order to allow us to tap both the public opportunity and the private opportunity.
And which are the new segments the company is planning to enter?
I'm not sure.
Am I audible?
Therapeutic areas, yeah.
Yes. Is the company planning to enter into new segments? And which are the those segments? If you can throw some guidance on that.
I think Rashid already mentioned it that for at least for 1.5 years, our focus will be again to accelerate the diabetes performance with the acceleration of Toujeo and Soliqua, while we keep on looking at the business cases to see what we can bring into the country.
Yeah, and I think we have the conviction that there is a huge opportunity in India for the diabetes segment. So we don't want to dilute our effort. I think what matters right now is to make sure that we fully leverage on this potential, and we strengthen our leadership in this field.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sameer Deshpande from Fairview Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Sameer Deshpande.
Hello.
Go ahead with your question.
Yes. Sir, after the demerger, the product portfolio naturally has got divided in the two companies, and we continue to focus on our diabetes and the central nervous system and cardiovascular portfolios. So you mentioned that you will be concentrating mainly on diabetes portfolio only, but why there are no launches likely in the other two areas, that is cardiovascular, which continues to be a very big area in India, and another is central nervous system also, which also is a big area. We already have some products in both these, and they are good brands. So any brand extensions, etc., in those are not planned?
Yeah, it's a very good question that you are asking. I think, benefiting from the Sanofi portfolio is giving us more chance to succeed in India market. So we cannot compete in the generic market. This is for sure. So we tried in the past, and we found that it's not really successful. Comparing when you launch a product where you have the support from the group and you have all the studies and all this stuff. So for now we are always evaluating options. When we see the opportunity, we do it. But for now, we see that what is coming from the group portfolio is more successful than other things in India. But we still evaluating.
So now with the current bottom line of around 450-70 odd crores in this quarter, do we hope to have an annual turnover of around 2,000 odd crores for the year?
Yeah, thank you for the question. We are sorry that we don't give any forward statement. So let's say the trend is positive. We can see it in YTD for the quarter. Then I think it's sufficient to evaluate, to make forecast for us. Huh? You will do it better than I.
And lastly, regarding this exceptional out of 27 crores is the VRS. Now, already in this quarter, our employee costs have come down from 56 crores to around 42 crores in this quarter. Now, what will be the run rate for the employee costs going forward from the next quarter?
Yeah, so I think, it's For this quarter, we should not link the decrease on the OPEX for the personnel cost with the restructuring. So it's one exceptional event. It's related to the transformation that we have done and the partnership that we signed with Empure for oral anti-diabetes. So this was announced in July. So after the closing of the previous quarter, so that's why we are booking this restructuring in Q3. Let's say 1 month saving for the quarter. Whereas for next year, I think from one quarter to another, the saving will be more and more in the personal cost.
On an operating margins, we in this quarter are around 28%.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to ask is that whether this 27 crores is a one-off, I know. Will this be in a position to reduce our operating costs further and enhance our operating margins from 28%?
I think the trend of the OPEX will not increase for sure, but where we have opportunity to optimize. Okay. So this is what we can see from 1 year to another. So if you look to our financial statement from one quarter to another, for 1 year to another, there are significant optimization and efficiency that we are looking for. This is one of the priorities that we have without impacting the business, of course, so without impacting the top line. When we have opportunity to do it, we do. So we are not expecting an increase in the OPEX, in the operating expenses.
Okay.
So that's what I can say right now.
Okay. So the margins are expected to be better or continue at these levels at least going forward. Thank you, Nick, and all the best.
Thank you for your patience with me.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants to press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayan, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Okay. So firstly, let me congratulate the management on a successful spin-off and also for all the margin improvements that we are witnessing. I have two important questions, and then the third one is a sub-question. The first question I would like to know is, given that Novo Nordisk had vacated the human insulin cartridges and the dispropen market, which is supposedly a 450 to 500 crore size, and also the fact that they are going to exit similar market in emerging markets also, has our company seen any benefit of this, especially given that we have Insuman and other human insulin product available? So that's the first question. So are we gaining market in the domestic area, and also are there plans to cater to the emerging markets where Novo is currently exiting? That is the first question. And secondly, over the last 2 years, in one of the conference calls, management had actually mentioned that they had that the parent had taken over a company in type 1 diabetes area. So today I was a bit surprised not to hear any talk about launching new product in the type 1 space. So I am actually not able to recollect the acquisition, the company's name, but it was in the T1D space. So I was hoping there would be some talk about launching the new product, especially it is in the same diabetes area. If you could take these two questions, then I could maybe come back for the later in the, I'll join the queue. Thank you.
So, yeah, you are right that Novo has expressed its disinterest with the human premix insulin. But you know, we should also be aware that human premix is a highly commoditized space with a lot of other generic players as well. So it's not an easy game to win. But having said that, it's not that we do not have a strategy around ensuring that the last excuse for an HCP to use a premix insulin is now not there. So you know, still the price difference between human premix insulin cartridges and Lantus is significant, but the effort is on in terms of ensuring that a HCP looks at Lantus as a first line choice in an OAD uncontrolled patient and looking into human premix insulins as well. So I could state that extent that we could see initial signs of HCP's behavioral shift in terms of advocating Lantus ahead of human premix insulin.
Yeah, I will take out the question. You are right. You know, I think in one of the previous calls we are talking about to launch, you know, one product in type 1 diabetes. Still evaluating the opportunity. When we launch, we want to be successful in the market. Otherwise, we don't want to launch a product just to launch a product. So we see our focus on Toujeo, on Soliqua, that is a real growth, because there is a strong support behind that. Now we still evaluate, and that's what I said at the beginning, and I hope that we will have the approval for such cases.
Maybe just to complement, T1B, and it was mentioned, is a very, very important segment where globally Sanofi is innovating and wants to take the lead. At this stage, as you mentioned, Rachid, we are assessing the access condition, the environment that has to be shaped in order to successfully launch this product in the future in the different markets. So we are still making some assessments for India as we speak.
Yes.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take our next question from the line of Palak Shah from Entrust Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Just wanted to know, what is the net impact on the financials because of this JVs and partnership? Assumption would be there'll be some sharing of margins with the partner or the JV partner. And that model will have some net impact coming off on the revenue, reported revenue. So can you just help me with that?
Yes. So there is an impact, you know, on the top line. It's a gross to net model. And the partner will distribute and promote the product. So both impact on the top line and the impact in the OPEX part as well.
Got it. So net impact, any number that you can subscribe, because the 2% growth in domestic market, when you look at it, that will have some material impact because the last year base would not have a couple of fires that we did in the 12 months. So this reported number seems to be subdued because of that, if my understanding is right.
But look, you know, the partnership, you know, how we built it, that, you know, the growth will come from one year to another. It's not immediate. So what we are saying, as, you know, how we evaluated initially, we discounted cash flow, versus a scenario. So if we are keeping the portfolio at our level versus a partnership. And this is, it's going to take a big time. So it's not immediate. So I think starting the year three, we can see it's already, we see improvement from one period to another, and starting from next year, I think, the year after, it will be, showing a better brand versus what we were doing in the past. Because as mentioned by Eric and, Deepak, you know, we, with this partnership, we can reach, you know, certain tier 2, tier 3, where we are not able to do it by ourselves. And the share of voice that they have is significant versus what we can afford in-house.
Cool. But then this numbers, reported numbers, do not actually see the benefit of this partnership. Even if after partnership, they're going at single digit, and to that a slow single digit, and the net effect of the voice of share and voice of mind that the partners have does not seem to be reflecting in the numbers. So what are we missing here?
Look, double digit growth, we're not expecting, to be honest with you, are not expecting double digit growth from the partnership. So it's a very, very competitive market, and we see improvement, we see market share gaining from our partners, but it will not be a kind of double-digit growth coming from this portfolio.
What we see is that these partnerships have accelerated the growth, I mean, as compared to when we were promoting and distributing this product in-house. And you can see already that we have compensated the downside of gross-to-net by a volume growth, and net-to-net we are growing by 2% in this segment. And we are aiming to continue to see that we have already compensated this loss of gross to net. And you can see as well that the impact on the bottom line is positive, meaning that we are generating BOI, we are growing the BOI faster than the top line.
It's a good question as well. You know, there is, thank you, Eric. You know, in addition to that, there are certain movement of stock. So the 2% is not really reflecting, exactly the sales, the secondary sales. Whereas we see, you know, all in all, it's more, a bit more than that.
Yes.
But we cannot disclose more information than that. We, I think in 2026, it will be comparable, you know, apple to apple. Till we 26, 27,
yeah.
Should clean up everything, you know, the transformation and the movement of the stock.
Got it. And just lastly, on the new product launches, given our size and the parentage that we have, why is the launches specified to just couple of products? And given the basket that has not launched, so the brands on global stables have not launched in India, why can't there be a higher number of launches? Especially given our size and our strength from the parentage, both on the product side as well as the marketing that you can do, the learnings you can take from them.
You want me to take it? Or you want? Yeah.
Yes.
Look, honestly, when we look to the launches of new products from Indian companies, okay, the failure rate is quite high. So they launch the product. I don't have the rate exactly in mind, but for sure it's more than 50%. It's quick. They launch and then they fail. Whereas we want, when we launch a product in the market, we want that it will be the right product for the patients in India, and we succeed, and it will bring additive value and added value for our shareholders. Now, regarding certain products that are, we have in the portfolio at the global level, you know, in terms of price, I'm not sure that the Indian patient can afford such product. So we are looking for certain access for this product, but it's not so so simple. The new product, you know, for multinational in general launched in certain markets, even, you know, they are selecting certain markets where their reimbursement will be there, and we will not fail when we launch the product. So this is what we don't want to have as experience. I hope that I answered your question.
All right. Great. Thank you so much for it. Yes. Thanks so much for giving a detailed answer. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Paresh Jain from Bajaj Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. Thank you. In the presentation, you make a very interesting observation of remark about using AI. Can you just elaborate a little bit on that? How are we using it? And how big is your tech team today?
Sure. So we are using AI at all levels of the organization. Just to be clear, it's not only the commercial team. But I will focus on what we are doing.
Your voice is not clear.
I'll focus on what we are doing.
Your voice is not very clear. But...
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yeah. The voice was not very... No, I can hear you, but it's not very clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be better now.
It's okay?
Yeah, now it's better.
Okay. Now, I want to think... Let's focus on India, and I'll give you a few examples. We are implementing AI everywhere where we can create value, from R&D to commercialization and to post-marketing studies, etc., etc. In our operation in India, we have really transformed the ways of working with AI on the way, for example, we develop our marketing tools with generative AI, on the way we support and we help our sales forces in order to define the next best action. So they are equipped currently with tools, AI tools, that are giving them the right direction for a given healthcare professional with the right messaging and so on and so forth. And these are only just examples. You know, we are really leveraging on AI wherever we can. In finance, for example, we are all equipped now with regular reports and agents that are giving us some recommendations on the way to optimize our ways of working, our OPEX, and so on and so forth. So these are just examples, but be it what we call expert AI, which is more upstream, let's say, to what we call snackable AI, which is more downstream and day-to-day, we are really all in on AI, and we are trying to empower all Sanofian with the right tools in order to amplify the capabilities and make sure that we create value.
Yeah, I will add one point as you mentioned. Just 1 second, I will share my experience in finance. So, in terms of forecast in supply chain or, the forecast that we are doing for budgeting or whatever, we reach a certain level that AI, in terms of forecast, is plus minus one versus the reality. Whereas, our forecast was not better than that. Huh? So we see significant improvements in the AI in terms of forecast, avoiding, obsolescence for our stock, for example. New launches as well. Huh? So we have certain recommendations from AI, top line, OPEX part. So we have a good trend coming from AI. This is related to the financial part. Huh?
And in the day-to-day operation, if I take the example of regulatory affairs, where we have to submit some variations, et cetera, et cetera. We've been streamlining considerably the timing for submissions using AI in the preparation of our files and in the elaboration of the dossier in general. So, again, these are just examples because we could talk about AI for hours. There are numerous examples at all levels of the organization.
Yeah. So, thanks for the example. But to summarize, if I were to just ask you that what has been the financial impact of it, either on your top line or your bottom line, if you would just quantify that, just for understanding, that would be great.
Honestly, quantifying, I don't have a number on mine, but if you take the obsolescence, in the past, in general, so we see forecasts coming from the teams, which sometimes optimist, sometimes not optimist. So for the first one, we are avoiding significant obsolescence for the stock because, we are manufacturing based on the forecast coming from the commercial team. And in the second point is when we are forecasting less, sometimes we have lack of opportunity for the business on the top line. So, sorry that I cannot quantify, but we see significant improvement in the obsolescence part where we are less around 1%. In the past, it was much higher. And this is the trend for the majority of the market operating with AI right now.
Yeah. Okay. And one last question. How big is your tech team and what is the technology cost that we incur?
I'm not sure to get the question. Can you repeat
the IT team? How big is your IT team?
I'm saying, and what is the technology cost that we incur every year?
So now it's difficult to isolate because we are operating with a very big group, the Sanofi group. The IT team is scattered all across the world with a big presence in India. So it will be difficult to give you an exact number, but I can tell you that we are fully supported by the group, that we have access to in-house solutions. I mean, we have our in-house AI companion. We have several in-house developed solutions like Expert AI, as well as existing solutions that are in the market with whom we are partnering.
No, but Sanofi India would have a technology team of their own, right?
We have a local team, but again, when it comes to AI, it's not an isolated game. Huh? I mean, we are leveraging on the group, and we have a group strategy.
Yes, we have a local team supporting India team here, and as mentioned by Eric, the standard solution and the systems, the standard system we are implementing to modernize India is coming from the group. So we can say today, by the end of this year, because, we were behind, right? End of this year, we will be aligned to the more modern system that we have within the group in India. So this is the plan. So it's a very ambitious one. And I think the team is on track on this.
So,
thank you. Thank you. That was it from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rashid Ayari for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. So on behalf of Sanofi India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you very much for the quality of the question. Thank you for joining us. And you may now disconnect from the lines. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, everyone.
On behalf of Sanofi India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you very much for the quality of the questions. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.